Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always,
it's Ben Vanell here, and thank you, Tommy, for welcoming me to the show, and thank you, Adam, for welcoming us into your home, as you do every week.
You're not welcome. It's just a job requirement.
Yep.
This isn't a friendly visit. I don't want you here. I want to go back to Zoom.
But we're like vampires. We had to be invited in. We couldn't come in without you saying, please come in.
Yeah, we're the other horror monster, gamers. And the most vampires, people don't invite them in.
The vampires that can't come in until you come downstairs and meet them out the front of your building. Mm-hmm. And you have to swipe us in, activate the lift for us.
Here's
and only
cunt
then.
Dracula.
Yep. Yeah. There we go.
Nah, it's lovely having you around.
Yes, thank you. It's a fun podcast to do.
Bright, beautiful day outside as well.
It's much warmer than I thought. I thought had experienced the tipping point in Melbourne of a real cold winter.
We got an Arctic blast last weekend.
Yep.
Which is crazy because we're near the Antarctic.
Yeah.
So it must have been a hell of a blast up north. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they called it an Arctic blast.
Yeah, but we're still in autumn and today is a nice day.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
A wonderful day to talk about video games, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of that Arctic blast, we should say thank you to everyone who braved that Arctic blast to come out and see us live at the Cooper's Inn doing our live show.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. It was nice to see so many of the filth there.
Yep.
And we have now put that show up on the Bandcamp. If you couldn't make it for whatever reason, maybe you got put off by the Arctic blast.
Yeah.
It was sold out. There are a few empty seats. Maybe some of you looked outside and went, fuck this.
Arctic blast, not my favorite flavor of Gatorade. Time to stay at home.
Yeah.
Call me when it's purple.
Or you may live in the Antarctic or the Arctic or any other country that's not Australia because,
no one's going to be coming in here for a while.
One person joked that they flew over from Perth for the show and then it turned out they were fibbing.
Yeah, that's right.
You can hear all that action and more.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's free, right?
It's a free, or a minimum donation of zero.
Yeah.
But if you feel like you want to chuck in some dollary dues, we'd appreciate it. If you've already been chucking in some dollary dues and you're a patron, it'll be in your feed if you're on the weekly bonus sort of tier.
But hey, if you want to put it on, if you want to spend the exact amount that a ticket was, just to really recreate the whole experience of sitting there and going, God, I hope I get $25 worth out of this, then by all means.
Chuck the AC on, I guess, to replicate the Arctic blast.
Yep.
And, you've got to sit still for like 10 or 11 minutes before you press play on the podcast while everyone else comes in and sits down.
Yeah.
So just put some house music on, sit in your house, so all houses house, and not house music is in the genre of house. Put on a playlist of pop songs.
And some crowd noise in the background, I guess. Some light conversation, you know, a bit of chat about games, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably.
Walk into the bathroom at your home and then see me in there.
Crying.
Crying and be like, get out, I'm not ready. And then you're like, oh, fuck, okay, sorry.
Have a man with a mullet come in and start yelling at you that it's time to go take your seat and start the show.
Yes.
And then that'll really do it. That'll really set the mood and make you feel like you're in the show. So we went through a list that IGN put together in 2011 about what gaming is going to be like in 10 years' time. And we spent basically the entire show debunking that list. We myth-busted their list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the myths were fact.
Yeah.
And some of them were myths.
Busted.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then I busted at the end of it. So if you want to hear that.
Yeah, it's on, it's on record.
That, that big squelch at the end.
And then we all went out for dinner afterwards. And yeah. I'm sorry to say, guys, there is not a recording of that available for purchase.
No, and I still owe you money.
Yes.
So.
So I well, yeah.
I paid him.
Yeah, I haven't sent you the bill yet, though.
Yeah, well, who cares about any of this?
Hey, very fair. Speaking of things that people don't really care about, there's apparently a remake of The Last of Us for the PlayStation 3 coming out.
Yeah, well, for the PlayStation 5.
Well, it'll be for the PlayStation. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. PS3's Last of Us is being remade.
Which they already remastered and put on the PS4 almost straight away after the original came out.
Yeah, I think it might have even been one of the first things I got on the PS4.
Mm.
Like that and a remaster of Tomb Raider, maybe.
Yeah.
But that made sense because it was like, hey, this new thing's just come out. Mm. You know, here it is in a bit, you know, a bit higher frame rate and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if a similar thing happens with Last of Us 2 maybe, or even if it's just a patch or whatever.
Yeah, I think I don't know.
That they said something about a patch where the triggers would be used. Maybe it's even happened.
Right.
And we just weren't paying attention because we all played that game and probably won't go back to it at least for years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I think they might have done a PS5 patch for that with the one incoming. Right.
But so, yeah, so this is not a remaster. It's a remake.
And so they've not announced this. This is like a rumor that's come out, but it's like reliable level rumor type thing. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah. I can't quite recall how it got out, but it's been reported on as if it is fact.
Yeah.
Well,
then it must be true. We read it on the internet. I think I've gotten more sick of people saying, oh, on the internet, that it must be true than of the actual fake stuff on the internet.
Yeah, I agree.
Just lean into the false reality. Yeah. I just want it to be true.
Let me live in the fantasy
world. Yeah. I only get my news from Snopes.com and I don't understand what the website is for.
Snopes should have like a weather report, but it's just for weather that's already happened. So it's like it was meant to be 30 yesterday and we debunked it. It ended up being 25.
I took a raincoat, felt like a fucking idiot.
this being a remake suggests not just like an upscaling and a like bit of, you know, optimized for PS5. This suggests a kind of a ground up thing, which I think a lot of people seem to think that this is going to be tied to the HBO series starting and kind of cashing in on that.
Right.
And potentially redoing the performances and the models to look the same as the actors in that show, I think is what a lot of people think is potentially going to happen.
They kind of did that with Spider-Man. The remaster of that for the PS5, they changed the fake Peter Parker's face. Well, all Peter Parkers are fake, but
except Tobey Maguire,
my Peter Parker.
That's right.
Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3 is the only Peter Parker that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But
you pronounce Peter Parker like pedophile. A bit of a Peter Parker, if you know what I'm saying.
Bit of a Peter.
Every few years, like it started with Tobey Maguire, but then Andrew Garfield had to go around and knock on people's doors and go like, hey, look, I'm a Peter Parker. I'm living in the building. There'll be a new Peter Parker pretty soon, probably. Mm-hmm. But so, that Peter Parker looked like Andrew Garfield, sort of.
Right.
And then they changed the model to look a bit like Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them doing the same with this if they are doing the remake. It seems pretty crazy. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older and my perception of time is changing accordingly.
Yeah.
But The Last of Us came out 4 weeks ago.
It really doesn't seem necessary at all. If it was just a remaster to be able to get it easily, natively on the PS5, I could understand that.
Yeah.
Like just remastering the PS4 remaster version, but it doesn't need a full like ground up remake.
It's one of those PlayStation Plus games already. Like a lot of people have played that game.
Mm.
I can't see a remake being something that many people are after. I'm certainly not.
I think a remake or a remaster should exist just for ease of being able to be easily purchased for people who've missed out on it the first time around.
I guess so. I mean, but that already exists.
Not the case for this.
Yeah, exactly. That's already there.
And I mean, if what they're banking on is the HBO series being like a Game of Thrones massive worldwide phenomenon, and then going like, oh, well, the only way that people will enjoy playing the original game is if the characters look like the actors.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, those people either, as in those viewers of the show, either don't care about games or they've already played the game. Like, yeah. It seems like a recent game, but it's
8 years old this year.
It's been long enough for people to play it or get old enough to play it and then play it in that.
It's like almost old enough that a Peter Parker wouldn't be interested in it anymore. But like
I think if the second one hadn't have come out, like it might, but it feels that whole world feels so much more recent because that second one is
less than
a year old. And so
and it's so tied into the first one and the first one is still so accessible that I guess a lot of people went back and replayed that one within the last couple of years.
I never finished it and I went back and did that like a year ago because it was just right there and easy to get.
I mean, I guess the remodeling the characters thing is speculation, right?
Yes.
But
yeah, if it's for that purpose, like going back after the movies come out and rewriting the Harry Potter books to be like, Harry Potter, who looked a little bit like Daniel Radcliffe.
But are they changing the character models in two as well? Like, they'd have to change the whole fucking series.
Maybe this is one of those things, because like they reported that it's being developed or whatever. Maybe they're just testing it out and seeing... Maybe it's something about porting PS3 games to PS5. What the process of that is, or like
maybe it's just like using Last of Us 2 engine and not really like that being a remake in the sense that the gameplay will be different, but it'll just be the same as the game that was the sequel.
Right. I mean, the term remake could just be a miss sort of. It could be thrown around incorrectly, and it could just be an upscaled PS5 version.
Are they still planning to do that multiplayer thing? There was like a separate Last of Us multiplayer or a Naughty Dog multiplayer game that they were working on. Because I know, I think they said it within the last week, so this would count as news, that I'm pretty sure Cyberpunk's ditching the multiplayer.
Yeah, and completely. And then I think today they backed it over with, and we're not stopping developing the single player one until people are happy with it.
Well, they need to. Like, it sold so much that they need to fix this one completely to ever sell another game again.
Yeah, I think so.
Is going to be when the time comes.
Yeah.
That the next CD like, Projekt hey, Red game is coming out.
Witcher 4.
Oh, Witcher 4. Okay, I forget about Cyberpunk.
Oh, he looks like Henry Cavill now. That's my Peter Parker.
But yeah, I mean, I do think it would be a great shame if this is a remake and if it is like a tied into the HBO series, because the HBO series is based on the games. So then to have a new game that is echoing that, it's like, no, that's not how it's, the change should stop there. It's like this thing is an interpretation of that. We don't need that to feed back in around onto,
But people might buy this new remake, so I guess you have to do it.
I mean, having something new on the show, even if it is just a remaster, like, to cash in on the series maybe being popular, sure. But also, it is one of the most loved, best-reviewed, best-selling games of all time. So,
and a very, like, the sort of...
That you can get instantly when you turn on a PS5.
And it's not a hugely replayable game, I don't think. Like, it is a very much a story-driven thing that once you've done it once... It's one of those things where you're like, okay, I've done that forever now.
Yeah, I've never replayed it. I think I started it and didn't finish it and then started it again. But when I finished it, I was actually very vocally against doing a sequel. I was like, fuck off. It's a perfect little story. The ending is like it means something. Yeah. It has something like emotional and political and social. Like it was just a great story.
Yeah, it's an ending that is so much more. Well, no, the two is great. But it's one of those endings that is made so good by not knowing what happens next. So
and they do a good job with the what happens next.
Totally, yeah.
For sure. They do it as well as you could have done it. But I completely agree with you. It's like, oh, man, this is so just wrapped up.
Yeah.
And it just is boring. If there's a remake of The Last of Us, even if they do it perfectly, that's still really boring.
Yeah,
and it's Naughty Dog working on it, right?
I don't know. Because that's the other thing.
I think it supposedly is, which again, it's like, I want to see the next new Naughty Dog thing.
Yeah. The other part of this that was a little muddy and confusing to follow is that some like internal Sony studios aren't happy with Sony's direction of like, we want these big blockbusters Everyone's got to be working on one of the big four huge games.
Yeah, you got God of War 2s. You're apparently Last of Us remakes.
Yeah. And so, some like, it was stuff. It was the people who made Days Gone wanted to make Days Gone 2, and Sony was like, no.
Yeah.
And they were like, ah, that sucks. But also, that makes sense why they would say no to that.
Yeah, yeah. And this was like, this was pre-pandemic. This was in 2019, apparently. And I mean, yeah, like Days Gone was at best a fine game. Mm. Yeah, I can see why people would like it if people are out there who are still like, oh, I just fucking love zombie shit and open give me world. Anything. Open world.
Let me be a biker.
Let me be a biker. But for me and I think a lot of people who play a lot of games, it was just like, this has been done before, better elsewhere. I want to see something new.
Yeah, it's on the PS Plus at the moment. I downloaded it the other night. I haven't started because I missed it when it... When it came out, I think I was overseas, and I remember you guys both playing, being like, and just getting the vibe from people that just absolutely was not worth, you know, sacrificing other things for. But now that it's free on the PS, I was like, oh, download this and maybe be fun to fuck around on a motorbike in an open world for a bit.
Apparently, the patchings that they've done to it for the PS5 is good too. Right. Improves the game because it's like 60 and that sort of thing. So
I can see people who, their specific interests, genre interests align with that game would like that game. It's not a terrible one. It's just a tired game, I feel like.
I see people whose genre interests align. The fact that you said I see people at the start of that made it sound like at the end of the Sixth Sense.
Not even a quote. I see people. Whom are dead?
Dead people. I see. You better believe it. I see London. I see France. I see dead people.
I see P. I'm saying Clown Posse. Yeah.
Yeah. I see P forever.
So I guess, maybe we'll find out more about that down the line. But a difficult one to not be very skeptical.
Yeah.
The merits of a remake.
When a game doesn't suffer from its age, which I think that The Last of Us probably still doesn't, having not gone back to it, but the same way I felt about Link's Awakening, where I was like, that Game Boy game, even though it's a Game Boy game, I thought it was still... They literally copied exactly how it worked for that remake. So that type of stuff just doesn't interest me really ever when it's the same thing with flashy.
But if you're like 15 years old, maybe The Last of Us does look old and shit. And
maybe.
You don't want to play. I don't know.
I look old and shit if you're 15 years old.
And you don't want to play that.
Nah, don't want that Peter Parker.
God, isn't that depressing to think about someone looking at Last of Us 1 and being like,
so old. PS3, you can't even download games on those anymore. those got deleted. That's for elderly gentlemen.
Yes.
Yeah, there was the thing that seems like it was a common bug that has happened before with PSN, where they were like, oh, they're taking down the patches for games now as well, and it's not even time yet. And it turns out it wasn't time yet, and they weren't taking down patches for games.
Oh, I think 24 hours later, people were like, it's working now.
Yeah. Because they're deleting the ability to be able to buy games on PSN. We've talked about that before. But yeah, it's still, that stuff just still bums me out just because I don't like the idea that you can't go back in time is the real reason. I want time to stop moving so that I will never die.
You should finish playing Disco Elysium then.
Okay.
Which I finished 20 minutes before I left to come here. Hell
really?
Yeah. Got the credits. Fuck, it's good.
There's like a bunch of different endings and stuff though, hey. So
there's, I think, one ending of like, this is the scene you end up in with the characters that... You know, it's always sort of ends at that point, unless you die or go crazy, which can happen in the game. I think, the way that you've approached different things can all have different results, and people can feel differently about you because of that. But and apparently it is replayable because, like we talked about, you can approach the game in like not just three different ways that it presents you at the start, but like in 20 different ways.
Yeah.
More, probably, because there's, like, you know, dozens of political ideologies that can influence your character and just emotional place. But I got to quote-unquote the ending. And it's, like, treatment of time and regret and a bunch of other cool stuff that was in Kentucky Route Zero, another game we all loved. It's just incredible. Like, it's become a real all-timer for me. And wow. I basically haven't done anything but play it in the past like 4 days.
Wow.
But yeah, fuck. Like 10 out of 10. I absolutely loved it.
I just got a news alert on my phone. They're actually remaking it currently and that'll be out.
I mean, this literally is like basically a remake of it.
Yeah.
What an industry.
Yeah. Remake everything.
And I wonder what extra... because there was more content and stuff in this final cut. As well as the voice acting, I believe.
I think that's true. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what was what with this.
Or if there was like... in the trailer, they like list a lot of things, but because I hadn't played it initially, it all kind of just went over my head. But like, I think there were new personalities that you could play as at the start. Like stuff in the mix there, I think. Right.
Oh, they added the ability to not be able to buy it in Australia.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but that didn't actually... feature. That didn't take for a lot of people.
No, there's a cheat code you can use called I'm from the USA. Just or, believe me, this is the internet.
Apparently, I'm from Australia and I use Steam.
Oh, yeah.
Steam has not taken it down.
Yeah.
You can still buy it.
What if you found out that getting on the US PSN store and buying it, the exact inputs that you had pushed on the controller to get that to happen was up, down, up, down. The actual Konami code. Konami code. God damn it.
Yeah, fuck you, man. I'm in your head now.
I got myself.
That's something, speaking of cheat codes, people this week found. So do you remember Homefront 2? Homefront the Revolution was, I think, the first one.
Yep.
And then it was like Homefront... some other subtitle.
Right.
Which was the second one which came out on the PS4 and the Xbox One but in 2017 or something.
And this was obviously by the title, some foreign force invading America, right?
Yes.
And it's like, hey, grab your guns. We've got to defend the country.
It was North Korea invading the US, I believe, was the story. It was developed by either the same team or a bunch of people from the same team as Free Radical, which were the people who made Time Splitters.
Mm-hmm.
And people have... so this game came out in, like, I think 2017, maybe 2018. And this week, people figured out that there's a cheat code where you can play the entirety of Time Splitters 2.
Love that.
Oh, just the game is ported over. It's in 4K. It's like a remake.
Wow.
Kind of, or a remaster of it. It doesn't have some of the multiplayer stuff, I believe, but it is like the entire single player game.
Wow.
And it's just crammed into this like middling shooter
that
people didn't really like. And now there's a great shooter in there.
Fuck.
And it's literally just a cheat code.
Right. It's going to be one of those things now where like copies of it are... because there's that... what's that game that is... it's a 3DS game that is just like completely... it's like a third party, who gives a fuck. But for whatever reason, you can use it to mod... your 3DS and like open it up and
right,
and it's so it's like a little pass through thing that you get, but for some reason it needs this game to run. That's just this game that no one cares about.
There's
it's
a few
like a ninja
games
game
like
or something
that.
Like that ninja that now is like
that rings
now
a
is
bell.
Like really expensive because it's like an essential tool for
I think that GoldenEye remake on the Wii is the same thing.
Right.
There's a few games like that that just there's some piece of bullshit code in there where you can... I love that shit, man.
It's
awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like the Dreamcast, I watched a thing the other day about how, because the Dreamcast was rampant with piracy. You could just burn a game on the original models and play it.
Right.
But they made, Sega spent millions of dollars.
Sega.
fuck off. How about if I pronounce it that way? That's how, you got to be assertive, Tony.
Fuck off.
They spent millions of dollars developing GD-ROMs, which were their own proprietary, like they held 800 megabytes rather than 650 or something, their own form of media.
Right, the game disc ROM?
As something like that, And then that was their copy protection, is that you couldn't buy or burn these discs,
right?
And it would only read those discs. But that wasn't true because it would also read this very obscure format of karaoke CD because sometimes they were popular in Japan. But that just meant it could run any code off of a CD,
right?
Which is fucking crazy to let that out the door.
I like those kinds of things. Imagine being the first person to discover that. Same with this Time Splitters thing, just like... oh my god! And like googling, going, someone else must have discovered this.
So one of the developers of Homefront 2, I can't remember the fucking name, but one of the developers posted on a forum, "Hey, there's a way that you can unlock Time Splitters 2 in this game. Have fun finding it.
Yeah, that's right. Cool.
And then people were like, fuck off, you liar. Shut the fuck up. You don't work for anyone. My dad works at Nintendo and he says he doesn't know you. And like,
I think Rare used to do that back in the day. They would get on their own like forums or some forum and be like, have you all found this little thing yet?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, fuck.
So yeah, if you want to play Time Splitters 2 in 4K.
Just buy Homefront The Revolution. The sequel is called The Revolution.
Oh, so what was the first one?
Homefront.
Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah. Is Time Splitters 2, what's the one that they... No, I think this is something different. Something that's like of that sort of era that was like quite beloved that got a remake quite recently and is terrible. Is it, or maybe, what's it called, like XVI or something like that?
13?
The shooting game. Similar sort of cell-shaded.
Yeah, they fucked the remake and took the cell-shading out.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm thinking 13. It's like different. Yeah, but 13. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that is really cool. Makes me think like what, like how many games are there that have some kind of, because every now and then you read about like, oh, someone just found this thing that you can do in a NES game. Like,
there's a way that you can actually make Lara Croft nude in Tomb Raider. If you actually just fucking squint a little bit. And then you get Sharpie. And you
imagine really hard.
Yeah.
If you minimize the window and then open up Google and turn off Safe Search and type in L-A-R-A space C-R-O-F-T space N-U-D-E, then you can just see her naked.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. She did Playboy.
Yeah, and then here's the cheat code to come: is you go up, down, up, down.
B-A-B-A-B-A.
Yes.
Yeah, I missed that those days when it was like, yeah, you can unlock Luigi in Mario 64. I'm pretty sure, and none of them were real.
Well, back when April Fool's Day pranks used to be actually good because they would be. I remember Electronic Gaming Monthly would always have like. In their April issue, they would always have something in there that was just straight up bullshit. But they would be really clever about it. Like it would be stuff like that was just like, I think one of them was like, you can get Sonic in Smash Brothers, which did end up coming true.
Right.
But like,
right.
For the time was like, oh my God. And they would like mock up these screenshots that looked very convincing.
That's cool.
And then the next month they'd be like, yeah, who guessed it? He was like the prank. Mm. One of them was like, a character that you could unlock at the end of Street Fighter in the arcade.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you make it through the entire game without taking any damage, then you know, you unlock it at the very end. And so then it was just like people writing in going, you fucking assholes. Like, I went to the arcade, I put so much money into the machine. Fuck,
Because Mortal Kombat was a big one with that sort of stuff where they had lots of secret little unlockable things. Sometimes they were like glitches that people thought was an unlockable thing. Mm-hmm. And
Tekken as well, I was going to say, fighting games. Like often Tekken had characters where it's like you have to beat this one character either perfectly or with a certain small amount of health left. I remember like unlocking the kangaroo and like the little dinosaur eye.
It's funny now because it's just basically turned into modders just do that themselves.
Right.
You know, it's like now you can get Thomas the Tank Engine in Kingdom Hearts 3. Right.
Or the cheat code is like, if you enter your credit card details and then give us $3.95, you get a new costume. Pretty cool.
You get a new photo of Lois Griffin.
I actually think that microtransactions are sort of bad.
Wow.
That's my stance on that.
That's a hot take.
I'm going to play Time Splitters 2, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
Because I think that Homefront might have been given away as like an Xbox Live Gold game or something at some point.
Yeah. It might have been a PS Plus game even.
Maybe.
Is it easy?
Anything could happen
out
there.
Yeah, who knows?
Is it easy to...
Unverifiable.
Yeah, I think it's literally just
You can just do it from the menu. You don't have to like play through the game to get it or whatever.
I think it is literally a cheat code.
That's very cool.
Let me look it up and I will give people the cheat code.
Oh, wow. Yes. You don't have to call up to the cheat code hotline anymore. Just listen to this.
Controller in hand, headphones on.
Yep.
Just raring to go.
Yeah. This is $8.90 a minute. Don't tell your parents.
Yep.
Time Splitters 2, Homefront.
It'll show up on the telephone bill as big suck job hotline.
Yep.
So that you don't have to be embarrassed about calling up for cheat codes.
So, you on Xbox, wait. Yeah, okay. So you can get the story mode, the arcade mode, the challenge mode. This section is called unknown, maybe cheats, unknown, maybe extras, and then unknown. So someone like just data mined the game basically.
Right.
If you want to play the story mode, I'm not going to read it out. That's a waste of everyone's time actually now that I look at it. But it's just cheat code shit. Holding down shoulder buttons and pushing buttons on the controller.
Hell yeah.
Most of the time when you interact with a console, via the button.
Yeah. Or with the Kinect, waving your arms around.
Yeah, cheat codes on the Kinect where you've got to like... do the okay, Macarena. Do the like a little Egyptian dance.
Yeah.
Floss. Now floss for me and it's just videotaping you and releasing it to the internet. There is no cheat code.
Yeah, if you bend over and like spread your asshole towards the camera, that'll actually do it. Yeah.
That would be sick if that was a code in a game. It's like, how'd you find that out? Oh... Yeah, better not say. State secrets and all that. To follow up on something from last week, my Hori.
Yeah.
H-O-R-I.
Uh-huh. Not how you spell.
My Hori.
I think you're Hori.
Yeah,
Hori.
I know, but it
doesn't feel right.
Doesn't feel right at all.
I got my slutty controller.
my pro Joy-Con thing arrived, and fuck me though. I meant to bring it actually to show you guys, but it feels great.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels like you're holding a pro controller with it, that big, nice, chunky D-pad.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, it makes the console big.
It's big as hell. So, it is literally just like a big controller, normal controller, cut in half, and then you slide each half onto the Joy-Con.
And it kind of, edges. I mean, it's pretty, it sort of, it's not like, doesn't have like neat form factor or anything. It kind of hangs over like the top of the screen. I don't think, I haven't tried this, but I don't think that you can get it into the dock with it on.
I doubt it.
But yeah, I mean, you know, why would you need to? Because the whole point of it is to have it as a, you know, handheld thing.
Yeah. It looks a lot like those, you know, those controllers you can get for a phone?
Yeah.
Snap the phone into the middle of like this big Xbox controller looking thing. It looks like that.
It makes it, honestly, to hold it, it makes it feel like, I don't know if you ever had one of these, an Atari Lynx.
I did.
The hand, you know, it was like really wide and
stupidly,
like pretty chunky. Yeah.
That's the one where if you flipped it upside down, then it had a left-handed version of the buttons. Yeah, cool.
It was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool console.
I always wished that it was a Game Boy.
Right.
And that's all I had.
So, I had a Game Boy, baby.
Yeah.
I was sitting there catching Pokemon, fucking playing Zelda fucking 20 years before yous cunts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I fucking had a million triple fucking double A's, double triples.
Wow.
You got them all, Buster.
Shit.
I think the fact that it was a color screen was the...
that was cool,
because it took Nintendo a very long time to bother doing that, I guess because they didn't need to.
I think my desire to fit in... overrode the benefits of having a color screen.
Yeah.
I really did want a Game Boy still.
Yeah, the controller's really cool. I'm looking forward to giving Monster Hunter a bit of a go on the plane with it.
Ooh, yes.
Even though I now think that the console is so wide that my elbows might be spilling over into the seat next to me once I'm holding this thing. But it feels great. Like having that portable screen and having those nice, comfortable sticks and buttons, it's great. If you if you find the Joy-Con too small for you or whatever, I would really recommend getting this. It's a great little accessory.
It doesn't seem like something Nintendo would ever do themselves either. Like if they do the Switch Pro thing this year, which it seems like they will, I can't imagine them changing up the form factor of the Joy-Cons too much. Because they were very focused on their, you can use each of these as a little controller.
That's true.
It'd be cool if they put a proper D-pad on there like they did with the Switch Lite.
Yep.
If they maybe made them a little more ergonomically sensible.
Because
it is a little annoying to hold a regular Switch for a long amount of time.
Yeah, I don't do it. It whatever the issue is, that like makes my hands cramp. Like I think the thumbsticks maybe are too small or something. I don't know what it is.
Maybe your hands are too big.
Well, nah. I think they kind of... I have short fingers, but I have a big hand. But
even the Joy-Con being kind of slightly rounded on the back, I think would kind of help people.
Yeah,
sure, that flatness, that angular thing of it.
That might be it, actually,
I've got like... I think I'm in the like 1% of people in the world that has like the right-sized hands for the Switch in handheld mode. I don't mind it all that much, but over a long flight, it's more the... It's the angularness of it, of having like a finger on the trigger that kind of starts to cramp me up a bit.
Which I guess is partly so you can put it in a little case and also so that it slides in that dock. Nice.
Oh, I've had to get a new case for the Switch as well because it will not fit in a regular case with it. Like, so Hori, ironically enough, really get you by the balls with this one because you extend the size of your Switch by about 50%. I mean, that's the thing. I've already got the Switch Pro, baby. I'm there with better sticks. The thing's like double the size. Like
it's like those, remember those Game Boy things where you could get just like the big fucking magnifying glass that went over the top and like the weird little joystick.
A little
the
thing big that speakers. Plugged into the speaker. Yeah, it's just like the same speaker, but just like shittier and louder sounding.
Instead of beep, 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 it was beep, 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 beep. I think that was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
You hold that up next to a real Game Boy, you are not going to be able to tell the difference. One earphone in each head, ear, each side of your head.
Yeah.
Speaking of head, you know he's got a weird head.
Whom?
Abe.
Oh, yes. Abe Simpson from The Simpsons.
That's what I'm talking about. I've been watching The Simpsons lately. Yep. I've been playing The Simpsons video game for Xbox 360.
Oh, yes.
Oddworld Soulstorm
came
out. It's a free game if you have a PS5 and PS Plus, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we all went through and played some of that this week.
Yeah.
I didn't realize going into it. I swear that during the marketing and whatever of this game, that they gave the impression that it was a new game.
I certainly had the impression it was a new game.
Yeah.
And it is in a large sense, but in an also large sense, it's a remake of an old game.
It is a remake of Abe's Exodus, which is the second game, the one that was also on the PS1. So this is like a follow-up to the remake of the first game that they did.
Which I think is maybe how they were getting away with it. They were saying it's a sequel to Oddworld, New and Tasty.
Right.
Which it is, but also that was a remake of Abe's Odyssey. And not a significantly different game to the original.
So I think
in that case.
Yeah. But this one is a little more diverges a little bit more, is my understanding. I never played Abe's Exodus.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe I played it like on one of those PlayStation demo discs.
Right.
But I don't think I ever owned it. I only owned Abe's Odyssey and loved it and played New and Tasty and I think finished the game for the first time in that mode because I was like a dumb kid playing the original and it was a hard game. Yeah. But yeah, never played Abe's Exodus. Until the other day, apparently.
It is annoying that it's got a different name. It's not New and Tasty. At least gives the impression of like, oh, this is a, you know, it's kind of hinting at it's like a remake or a remaster or whatever. Yeah. But this has just got a whole new kind of subtitle.
It's odd. Bizarre.
But
it's
then at the same
time, a pretty
time,
odd world though. So you know,
it's a worse title. Yeah. I think doing Oddworld Abe's Exodus, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, then Oddworld Abe's Exodus. Great. Because they did a bunch of weird shit, other Oddworld games.
Because then
after
there was Munch's Odyssey.
Yeah,
and
right.
then Stranger's Wrath.
Yes.
And there were meant to be five originally. I remember this from the magazines at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they never made that fifth one, but then they have started doing these remakes now for whatever reason. So yeah, this is a remake of the second Oddworld game. And it isn't that fun to play for me so far.
I agree.
I like it a lot, but I'm finding it difficult.
Yeah. So it is the same basic thing that Abe's Odyssey and Exodus were, where it is like generally a 2D area. Oh, it's always kind of, you know, a flat plane that you're running on, but it kind of curves around sometimes and does some stuff.
2.5D, I think they call it.
What? That's a good fucking term, dude. So it is a little challenge area and there is a puzzle there to solve. Generally, that puzzle involves both a mix of figuring out what the puzzle is and then having good execution on what you're meant to do, which is generally throw some bottles. You've got bottles that can be, that lay down a flammable liquid and bottles that lay down water and you get some other items later on as well. There's a lot of like, there's a crafting system.
Right.
And all this shit that like is a little bit much at first, but it makes sense over time.
Yeah. Because the original Abe game, there was, you could throw grenades.
Yeah.
And you could chant and possess things.
Yes. So that's back.
And that's back. Yeah. But yeah, the OG, it was basically just that. You could do things like turn off mines, open doors and shit like that.
Switches.
A lot of switches and a lot of very finicky platforming. I remember in the original and in the New and Tasty version of it, just fucking so many jumps where it's like, I swear that I had hit jump before I fell off the edge of that ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm coming to this not having that kind of nostalgia for this world. We did New and Tasty for one of our early Patreon things. I played a little bit of it like that and I found it, Yeah, and it's interesting to hear you guys say that because I just assumed that my difficulty I was having with it was based on kind of not having the affection for it from back in the day or kind of like the muscle memory because, yeah, a lot of it for me, the challenge is just getting it to fucking control properly, which I am not finding enjoyable. Like the timing of the angle of throwing the bottle and you've got the little dotted line that's showing you where it's going and so it still doesn't like, quite hit it right. It's like I can't be fucked working out exactly what little spot you want me to stand in to, you know, I just am finding that very annoying.
Because the movement is only with the left analog stick. The D-pad is being used for like commands that you give to other little guys who are sometimes following you around. And then the right stick is to kind of aim.
Yeah.
And yeah, it gives you that arc trajectory with the dotted lines that heaps of games have.
But yeah. There'll be like, yeah, there's like the flammable liquid that you've got. So you can have a little bad guy who's walking in front of a little fire.
Yeah.
And then if you hit that with the thing, it'll blow him up. And it there's no lock on or anything like that. So often you miss it by like a millimeter and it's like, nah, and he's alerted to you and he shoots at you and it's like, it's not for lack of skill that I haven't hit this. Yeah. It's not from not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. It's like it just is the game going like, no.
I agree.
You're going to be standing in a little bit of a different
place. Yeah, there's a secret spot. Yeah. See if you can find it. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
And then like the jumping feels like shit as well. Like jumping between different platforms and grabbing on. You can fuck that up quite easily too.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a complicated maneuver that you're trying to pull off. It's just a simple thing that controls poorly.
I haven't found the jumping because there's a double jump, which was not in the other games. And I'm finding I'm just doing that. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm over onto the ledge now.
Yeah.
But I've found getting down impossible because it's like, well, it's the analog stick. And if you don't press directly down perfectly, then you move forwards or move sideways.
Yeah.
And yeah. When this is basically a stealth platformer with a lot of puzzles. And yes, like you said, sometimes the puzzles are like throwing something at something else to make it burn and go through there, or it's...
But then you've got to quickly get to this other point and then maybe quickly possess another thing. So exactly, there is an element of actual mechanical like, skill that you need to have to pull it off.
Yes.
Which is the most frustrating thing in the world for me when you know how to do something and then either the game, and this has happened a couple of times, will give you the impression that you're not doing it correctly because you fucked up the mechanical side of it.
Right.
So it makes it seem like that wasn't the answer because it didn't work. But then you do it from your point of view the same way the second time.
Yeah.
Or later on down the track because you were trying something else. And it works this time because you just got it that fucking millimeter different, which it wanted. And that it's the most frustrating thing in the world to know what a puzzle is but not be able to execute it through the poor controls.
Dying again and again, and it's not for lack of skill where you're like, hey, if I know that it's just beating me and I just have to keep doing this like a good, a good kind of precision-based platformer where it's like, no, I know I can get this.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm doing everything right. Like, but yeah, this kind of thing where it's just like dying again and again and again for seemingly quite arbitrary reasons.
Floppy, that thing where if you're trying to get down and he will like move back and forth all weird. Yeah. And like getting up on ledges has been annoying sometimes too. It's just enough of that that it doesn't make me want to keep going with it.
The dropping down thing too where you, because it's stealthy and then you alert the little guys that are around and then they shoot you just because you didn't climb down in exactly the right way. Like,
yeah.
Well, this is exactly how I feel about Demon Souls. And I disagree that it's not a skill-based thing because it's like, well, yeah, next time if you can do it by doing it right, then the first time you weren't doing it right.
Right.
Like, and I find this game difficult but much more rewarding and much less frustrating than Demon's Souls because that's how I felt about it. I was like, well, I know what buttons to press to fight in Demon's Souls and I know how to dodge and I know, you know, all this stuff, but then it would be like, oh, there was some guy behind me that I didn't realize, you know, I felt like there were other environmental things or literally just like, oh, I did a melee attack and it didn't hit that guy. Why is that? And then I died. And I feel like, it's a very similar experience for me with this, except I'm better at this game.
Right.
I enjoy the aesthetic more. Like, I love the characters in this game. I've always been a huge fan of, like, the writing as well, because the first game was, like, an extremely, like, baby's first capitalism critique, right? It was all about, like...
Soylent Green.
Yeah, exactly. And it was done in, like, a kind of fun, winking way, which also, like, I played as a probably, I don't know, like fuck, an 11-year-old and was like, oh, I get that this is a criticism of what factories do.
Right.
Right.
So I've always been interested in the world and was like, why did this series degenerate into like weird, not good games?
Yeah.
That's, I think, but that's kind of too, like, why it's just not quite gelling with me, because I don't, again, it, like, it's a sequel, so it just hops right in. It doesn't give you much in the way of a catch up.
No.
And so I'm a bit like, I don't really get why I'm meant to care about what's going on here.
Well, I also think in this game, the story is nowhere near as interesting or good. It's just like, oh, you're on the run and also you're trying to rescue people. And there's no, like, there's nothing else. There's
but there are like 10 minutes of cutscenes at the beginning, which is just like, come on, just get me in there.
And like, there's like a MacGuffin object, like a Pulp Fiction suitcase thing almost, because it's like they lift it open and go, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is or what the stakes are or where you're trying to get it or why you're doing it.
Yeah.
There's like a flash forward right at the start.
Oh yeah, that's
like the train getting away. It's like, oh, here's where you're gonna end up, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, there isn't enough context for me to give a shit about the story, but I do like the look a lot. The animation, especially in the cutscenes, is really nice.
Yeah
And the like 2.5D of like you're just going straight, but then you kind of like curve around the corner and the environments all look very great and very impressive.
That stuff is cool. It just, I guess, the Demon's Soul thing is an interesting comparison, because these controls seem to be fighting against me every time, and like I can't get into a state where they are happening naturally for me.
Yeah, right.
But Demon's Souls, I could. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And yeah, it's, I'm just in the reverse. Like,
there's Oddworld guys and there's Demon's Souls guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
Those are the two types.
But also, the checkpointing is great. It's like, oh, every time you die, you're just at this exact same spot, and often. And I guess this is the stuff that you guys were saying about Demon's Souls. It's like, okay, well, once you've done all of this stuff in this area and you need to get back to the bit that you can't get past,
right. You
can basically rush through it. You're like, oh, yeah. And in this game, it's like, all right, just jump over here, pull this lever, you know, possess this thing, boom, boom, boom. And then you get to the thing where you threw the bottle in the wrong spot, but you thought you were throwing it in the right spot.
Yeah.
And this time, maybe you'll get it in the right spot. And yeah, I found it rewarding to get better and better at each section until I'm like, bang, it took me 30 seconds and now I'm moving on.
Yeah.
It still suffers from that lack of narrative drive.
Yeah.
For
sure.
It just doesn't measure up to the first game. It was such a much clearer story and motivation. It's like, save these people from this awful factory. Yeah. The factory was well designed. All the areas were kind of cool and different. The enemy types were really interesting to come across for the first time in the first game.
Mm.
But yeah, this is just a bit blander to me.
Yeah, I agree with that, because like, yeah, there really isn't, as much as I like the presentation of and the look of the story, I have no idea what's going on. And I played that first game and I can't, I guess I know what's going on, but it just seems like it's confusing without being complicated.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like there's so much happening that I can't keep track of it. It seems like you're just still escaping and now some people are following you and you've got this glowing thing that's clearly important that you're trying to take somewhere.
Mm.
That's really all it is, but there's no actual context for the individual screens that you're going through, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
Like that first one, it's like, you're escaping a factory. So here are the bits of the factory. You're going through this weird fantasy world because you need to get this power to save all the people.
Yep.
It made sense. But you just kind of, it's a series of disconnected puzzles in this one. And the puzzles themselves are fine.
Similar
way to the first one. But it just really doesn't feel good to actually control it to me either.
And all of this being said, once again, like with Maquette and with Destruction All-Stars, if you've got a PS Plus subscription, it's free.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Really on one with these, making these big new games and then just going, oh, just have it.
Yeah. But it is on the PS4 too. You can play it there if you want to purchase the game.
Yeah, and I think if you're someone who does really love a punishingly hard 2D puzzle platformer,
right,
this is the game for you, because it's going to be hard, I think, for most people.
Yeah.
Even if you're good at them and you like them, and like me, like you clocked the previous game in the series.
Well, and I mean, it's so, like, I think we're all, like, the default for a 2D platformer is like, you run here, you jump, you run on these platforms, and it's very, like, it takes a little bit to adjust to, like, no, it's stealth and it's, like, puzzles, because it's so, it's such a different format to what you're used to from like a 2D platformer. To not just go, I just fucking run and jump on this guy. And you've got to like stop in each section and kind of survey it.
Because it's not really a platformer in the way that it's like those games like Flashback and Out Another World and Heart of Darkness and all of those ones from like the 90s. That were, this type of difficult platformer still, but like an adventure-y kind of thing as well. Like
it's not as atmospheric or fun or interesting as a Little Nightmares or an Inside or a Limbo, but I guess it's somewhere between.
It's kind of that direction,
And I think it probably suffers with those games having sort of taken an extra leap,
especially with the revelation that it's a remake. You know what I mean? It was a little more behind the times than I was expecting it to be, which I think kind of made it my impression of it a little less positive than it might have been.
Right?
I know you guys. I don't hate the world, but it's just that stylistically, it is a little uninteresting and drab to me, which I know is by design, but that second bit, it's like this is just a desert. You're talking about, Inside and Little Nightmares, that even though they are doing some tropey things, it just feels to have a bit more personality to it than this, which like outside of the character design of this weird little goblin thing with his mouth sewn shut, it's like the puzzles are just, you're chucking water around and putting out fire. Like it's kind of just generic setting. It doesn't really feel like it's this like fantastical fantasy world. It's this is just a desert that I'm running through.
I definitely like the characters a lot more than the environments. Yeah. Those little octopus with guns.
Yeah.
Sligs.
Yeah.
The guys without the arms. Yes. They're cool.
I wish all the rest of it was kind of going a little, doing a little more than just, and I know it's very early on where it's still teaching you stuff, but it's just like, hey, shoot a thing at this to make it, to set fire and burn down the door and then throw water to put, it's just very like, this could be any setting. Like,
the world is not particularly odd.
Yeah.
It is quite a standard world.
Yeah. I guess you did try New and Tasty, but it feels weird for this to be a step back from a game that was a remake of a very old game even.
it's made me want to go back and play Abe's Exodus though, like the actual original one, because I think I would enjoy that more.
Yeah, I wonder.
Because I reckon the effort that they've done to remake it hasn't paid off.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. I don't like how they've complicated the gameplay and the powers and the options and the stuff. Like, I think just like, yeah, I liked how they managed to wring hours and hours of puzzles out of like four gameplay mechanics.
It works so much better,
And now there's like 10 and it's a little like, do I have to memorize all this stuff really?
I don't want
to
craft shit ever again.
Yeah.
If I have to fucking craft shit, I don't, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. You don't even eat the cheese singles. You hate crafting that much.
Yeah. Dude, that's too much stuff put together. Yeah. That's milk and thyme. Mm. That's two ingredients. One ingredient only.
Yes.
A bite ahead of lettuce. That's all I do. Yeah. I don't even wash it. That's too much.
Fuck.
Too much crafting. I'm eating caterpillars all the fucking time.
Just dirt.
Then they grow into butterflies inside me. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. You crafted yourself.
Mm.
I'm sick of it. Menus. Fuck off.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a okay. fine game. It is I'm okay. sure it'll be a hit with some people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stuff about the remake is the least cool stuff.
Really weird. And that it wasn't clear from the start that it was that. And also, like, it doesn't seem like a great remake. Because, again, I haven't played the original, but having played Abe's Odyssey a bunch, which Abe's Exodus was pretty similar to, this is worse than playing Abe's Odyssey on the PS1.
Yeah, agreed.
So I have to imagine it's not as good as Abe's Exodus.
Yeah.
It's never a great idea taking an old game and just putting like weird new gameplay things onto it. I've been playing Pac-Man 99.
Oh, baby.
Another free one if you have a online subscription to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like we said, when it was announced, I think it only got announced last week, right?
Yeah,
I
completely forgot about it and haven't tried it either. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's a lot more suited to that sort of Tetris Battle Royale kind of concept than the Mario thing was, because it's all on one screen. And Pac-Man is something that it is fun to play again and again and again. Mm. Just playing the one level of Mario again and again and again and again is not
that just
as
feels
enjoyable.
Like you're losing every
yeah.
time.
Yeah. So yeah, it's basically you just play Pac-Man. It weirdly it doesn't have any kind of tutorial or explanation screen in it to explain what you do on your screen yeah. to affect
Tetris 99
the other
was like that
and,
too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. I don't think I played any of these because I never got Nintendo Online.
The tutorials for that got big on YouTube and stuff because there was a lot of depth to the strategy of fighting the other players beyond just playing the Tetris.
Right.
But it wasn't presented to you at any point during the game, which
so
is
I
fucking
haven't
weird.
Really dived into that yet. I've just been sort of doing rounds and just kind of focusing on my screen and just playing Pac-Man and it's fun. Like the presentation of it is great. I paid for the deluxe pack, which has like a bunch of offline modes.
Okay.
And then a whole bunch of different themes. So you can like change the skin of what you're playing, of what your screen looks like to just various old other Namco arcade games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which
I'd
is cool.
I'd love to change my skin.
Yep.
I wish I could change my own skin.
I feel very dumb for having paid for it, but I love aesthetic options like that.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
Me too.
It's just cool going through all the old little, like
so
you know, Mappy,
like Gallagher.
The little, Gallagher's on there. The little Mappy, the little fucking cop mouse thing.
Know, man, I don't know who that is, but I want him to get the fuck away from me—a cop and a rat.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
It's bloody Donnie Brasco.
Yeah, they're Donnie Brasco over here.
But it's fun. And again, it's like the base thing of it is free. I've got to work out how the actual competitive side of it actually works.
I'm assuming it's the ghosts you eat go to other people's screens type of thing, right?
Something like that. And I think when you get the fruit, that tends to do something. And yeah, a little silhouetted.
I would imagine it would. It would do something.
It does something. Little silhouetted Pac-Man and little silhouetted ghosts turn up on your screen that I don't think can. That don't seem to be able to affect you, but if you swallow them, something seems to be happening.
And are these offline modes just Pac-Man, or are they like Pac-Man 99 against bots?
Yeah, it's that.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's like a score attack kind of version thing too. Like, there's like four different little modes in there that I haven't really. Basically played a bunch of rounds where I would exit each time and go back and like change the theme to just see and it like the theme, it like changes the music, it changes the sound effect, so it's like a complete overhaul, which is pretty neat.
I like that sort of shit.
That's a fun thing.
That's the sort of shit that I'm into.
I was big into Winamp themes. Like just loved it. I probably was just listening to Linkin Park over and over again.
But you got a sexy girl on a car there your playlist.
Fucking Matrix or something.
Yeah,
probably.
The Matrix one.
Yeah.
Oh, SpongeBob Winamp.
Oh, hello.
I had Bender.
Nice. That's exactly the time.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Incomprehensible to any of our listeners under the age of probably 20 at this point, right?
They can't talk anymore. Those guys are dickheads.
Yeah.
Go download Winamp. With Pac-Man 99, because Tetris 99 was only on the Switch Online thing when it came out, but then they put out a version that people could buy,
that's right?
Can you buy Pac-Man 99 if you don't have online, do you know?
Well, to get the the deluxe thing is a paid thing.
Right.
So
how much is the deluxe thing?
It was $30.
Hell,
I know, it's too much.
That's too much for a game that you already had for free.
I know, for some skins.
For Pac-Man.
I had to do it.
Wow. And you don't want The Last of Us to be remade.
No. You can buy all the skins like separately.
Right.
Just for like a couple of dollars each.
Yeah, but you're
like
not a stooge.
Yeah.
That's a fucking mugs game.
I was like, I just want them. I'll just get it. Like, I just want,
you
know. And I do like, it would be cool to play offline for like on a plane trip. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But I assume that you can get it.
I would be curious to try it. And I guess if it's $30 and you like get the game, you don't have to have online and you get every, you know, custom thingy, maybe I'll give it a
poke.
Then
to play it online, you would need the online thing.
Yeah.
And that's only $20-something a year, I think. It's cheaper than everyone else's.
It's cheap,
And I want to play some Monster Hunter online.
Oh,
yeah. But it's a cool, a cool little game. It definitely, I think it's got the, it's a lot more fitted than the Mario one was. It feels very natural. Like the Tetris one remember that just kind of came out of nowhere, and having a girl was like, this is awesome. This is like the most natural thing in the world.
It was bizarre when they were like, yeah, Nintendo's putting out a Tetris Battle Royale, like the most April Fool's Day joke.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh shit, it is. Yeah. Okay.
And I think this is a cool little thing for the Nintendo Online thing. These like weird little kind of, strange, just pick up and play, couple of quick rounds. And yeah, the music and the sound effects and all of it is like very arcadey, but like, you know, high res arcade kind of like flashy sound effects and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So yeah, give it a go. Give it a go if you've got Switch Online. Don't pay $30 for it like I did. Mm. Although if you like aesthetic stuff, it's great.
Right. Like
the amount of themes on there are bad. Cool. Yeah.
Skins in general are just the thing that I don't go in for usually, but they obviously appeal to very many people.
And
how video games make money.
Yes. Yeah.
The fact that it changes the music and everything, like it's not just purely like a visual thing. It does make it feel like playing a kind of different little arcade cabinet thing.
I'm going to play that after you cunts get the fuck out of my house.
Is that about it for the week?
Then we can get the fuck out of here in 2 hours after we're done with the other things we have to do today.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much for listening. Check out the live episode that's up on Bandcamp if you want to enjoy that.
Also, YouTube, It Takes Two, our playthrough is up there, part one.
Yep.
For everyone in the world. But if you want to get it early, go on the patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
You get part two.
You get part two right now and part three a week before everyone else.
And then if I accidentally put them all on the same playlist, you get to see them all a little early as well.
Apparently, about five people.
I it was the playlist thing. I fixed it. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's our version of a leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find the links to all that. Yeah, the Patreon. You also get a bonus episode every week.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Have you heard Nintendo's putting out a sequel to Pac-Man where instead of eating ghosts, you eat other wrappers for breakfast? It's called Two Pac-Man.
Ooh.
Have you heard that?
No.
Okay.
And I'm glad.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.